Black Flame of the Amazon, featuring Harold Noyce, world famous explorer in person. Remember, out in the cabin of their amphibian, Jim and Jean Brady, the two children with the pilot of their ship, Pat Donovan, have succeeded in capturing two Indians, big savage men with blowguns and poison darts, who have been appointed guards to see that no one takes the plane. These guards are in the employ of a cruel-hearted white man named Butch Grogan, a ruthless rascal whose heart is greedy for gold. Mr. Noyce is still a prisoner in the Indian village nearby, and Pedro is with him. The Indian village is a scene of growing activity and excitement. A celebration, a ceremonial feast and dance is about to begin in honor of Mr. Noyce, who is to be tortured at sunup by the cruelest of all tortures, buried alive in an anthill, a hill of soldier ants containing millions of these fierce half-inch-long insects. All this will happen, provided Mr. Noyce isn't rescued by morning. But little Jim Brady has a plan, somewhat far-fetched, perhaps, but anything is worth trying now. Listen.
But look, Timmy, always it's been you and me. Oh, we've always gone together. Gosh, maybe you'll get into trouble. There's an awful scad of Indians up there.
And that's just the reason I want to go up to the village alone. One person can get by better than two.
That's what you think. But say, there's a lot of things I can do, too. Just because I'm a girl is no reason. What do you say, Pat?
I don't want to be getting mixed up in any family argument here, but I do think that girls should stay out of Indian villages as much as possible.
You hear that, Jane? Pat agrees with me.
Well, he doesn't agree with me, and I've got my mind made up, Jimmy, so there. Where you go, I go.
Now, can you imagine that, Pat? Gosh, a fellow can't even go places now unless his sister is tagging along. Jane, you just get in my way.
Oh, quit stalling, Jimmy. I know you better than that. You're just saying that, but I know. You think maybe I can't take it.
Oh, no, it isn't that, Jeannie. But I don't think Dad would like it very well if he knew you were getting into danger.
Okay, then. But how about you? Would he think it would be okay for you? Like fun, he would.
Jimmy, it seems to me you're losing out in the argument. And after all, you know, as I understand it, Grogan isn't meaning to harm either one of you, nor me for that fact. I'm the pilot of the ship. And it's useless to him if I don't tag along.
Well, I know that, Pat. But Jean and me, we're quite safe. Grogan needs us to explain the secret code.
Sure, but that treasure map is just a lot of meaningless lines and things without the secret code.
Well, now, that's just what I've been saying. So Jean won't be running into a great deal of danger. And another thing, it'll be company for you, Jimmy. I'd like to go with you, but I just got to stick to this ship. If Grogan should come down here, I want to get my hands on him.
But listen, Pat, I'm not thinking about us. It's Mr. Noyce and Pedro.
Well, sure, and don't I know it. But I can't for the life of me see just how we can do very much about it at all.
And that's the tough part of it, too. If it wasn't for the Indians, we'd have half a chance.
Well, very likely Mr. Noyce and Pedro could handle Grogan.
Maybe, but not with several hundred Indians against them.
And that's exactly what I was trying to do. figure out some plan to get the Indians out of the way.
And you think the box of duplicates might do it, Jimmy?
Well, now, wait here. Now, that box there, it contains doofleckies. That's what you call them. Well, I don't remember ever seeing a doofleckie. What is a doofleckie?
Well, Pat, listen, I guess I should have explained doofleckies. It's just a word. It sort of fits in, see? It can mean lots of things. But wait, Pat, here's what I had in mind. Look in there.
Well, now, say, what is this to be? A firework celebration or something?
Well, you're almost right. Pat, that's what this stuff is supposed to be for, celebrating.
Oh, well, these big firecracker things, what are you going to do with them? And where did you get them?
Oh, that stuff. Perhaps Jimmy and me, we got a big armful last year. And we were going to shoot them off and celebrate, but it rained and stormed that night. And the firework stuff was all off.
Yeah, and it was the very next day that we got a letter saying that Dad was in trouble. So we sort of had other things to think about than shoot off rockets and things.
Yes, and so you brought them along. Well, I'd say they were excess baggage, all right, when there's so many other things needed.
But you don't understand, Pat. Listen, what would you do if you lost your daddy and then you found him again? Wouldn't you sort of celebrate, too?
Well, sure now. And that is about the one thing I'd be after doing, Jeannie.
Okay, that's what Jean and me had in mind when we packed these fireworks in the plane.
Sure. We meant to have a swell celebration when we rescued Daddy and discovered the black flame and the ink of gold.
Well, it's a mighty swell idea, all right. Now, if I was you, I'd just put him away for a time until we find your dad. I don't see how fireworks can help much in this shindig anyway.
Well, neither did I until just a little while ago. Mr. Noyce told us that the element of surprise was the best thing when dealing with hostile natives.
And just how will fireworks fit into the picture?
Well, gosh, I don't exactly know yet, but they might. Maybe if we all get our heads together, we might think up something.
Listen, Jimmy, if these fireworks are going to do us any good, we first have to get near the ceremonial fire.
And I've got an idea. How about us making our faces brown like the Indians?
And maybe dress up like the Indians. There's that little Indian drum hanging on the cabin wall. I could thump that.
Sure. We'll take that little tom-tom and go join the Indian dance.
Oh, swell. If they get as excited about their ceremonial as Mr. Noyce says they do, why, maybe they'll never notice us.
Yeah, and we can get a chance to pull something.
Well, but where did the tom-tom come from? I don't remember ever noticing it before.
Well, the night you went away for assistance down at the swamp, we fixed up the hoot nanny again. The loudspeaker in the trees, remember?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, and it works well, too. The Indian flew the coop, and in the morning, Gene and I, we found that little tom-tom quite near the plane.
Oh, well, most likely an Indian must have dropped it when he went scramming for home.
Oh, gosh, if we only had that loudspeaker now, maybe we could make enough noise to scare them again.
But we haven't. It's still hanging up there in the trees. But say, I got an idea for making some real weird noises. Pat, you remember the roars we used to make back home?
The roars? No, I don't think I ever heard of them. What are they?
You mean the little things we used to make out of the round breakfast food carton?
That's what I mean, Gene. Look, Pat, maybe we can make some swell roars.
Well, now, if such a thing could be done, well, I'm all for it.
All right. Gene, get that little tom-tom off the wall.
Okay.
Pat, have you got a tube of cement, the kind you patch the wings with?
Well, sure, and you bet I have. Waterproof stuff dries almost immediately. Do you want it?
And how? Wait, I got a long piece of twine in my pocket somewhere. I had it. Yeah, here it is. Give me the tom-tom, Gene.
Jimmy, here's the cement.
Open the tube, Pat, and squeeze it all out. Hurry.
You want me to squeeze it here, right here, in the center of the skin on this tom-tom?
Yeah, right there. That's well. And now then, I'm going to stick this end of the twine right on the glue, like this. And then let it dry for a while.
I guess it must be all right, but it certainly doesn't look like anything that's going to scare Indians very badly.
Oh, no? Well, you just wait until you hear it. Here, Jean, you hold it. Don't jiggle it. Let the cement dry.
Okay.
I've got some powdered rosin in the medical kit. I'll get some.
Well, now, what do we do with the powdered rosin now? I thought they just used it to play fiddles with.
Well, it's the same thing. It's the rosin on the violin bow that makes the sound come from the violin.
Oh, it's the rosin on the string that makes the big noise on a roar. Okay, I've got it, Pat. Now, while Gene holds the tom-tom steady, you hold out the piece of twine. Now, don't yank it loose from the cement, though.
Well, I'll try not to, but look here. Aren't we sort of wasting time? This isn't getting us anywhere about helping Mr. Noyce and Pedro, you know.
Well, maybe not yet, but it will. Hold it tight, Pat. That's it. I want to rub some of this powdered rosin on the twine. Gosh, Pat, I hope this does what I think it will.
Well, I'm hoping the same thing. I don't know what it is or what it does, but I'm hoping just the same.
Well, just hold your horses. Let me have the tom-tom now, Gene. How's the cement? Gosh, it looks dry as can be.
Oh, that's quick stuff to dry, all right, Jimmy.
Well, listen, I'm going to try this. Not loud, see, just a little bit. Just in case the cement isn't quite dry yet. Listen, I just hold the rosin twine and pull my thumb and finger along it. Listen.
Say, that is something, Jimmy. But is that all the loudness?
Well, you wait for just a little while, Gene, until I think you're sure the twine is good and dry. Then I'll let you hear some real noise. I'll hold the string tighter when it's slipping through my fingers.
Well, now that it's all made up, just what do you intend doing with it?
Like this, Pat. You're going to stay right here with the ship. Be ready to help us when we get back. Or maybe we'll have Mr. Noyce and Pedro with us.
Well, that's understood. But what about this here conception now?
Well, I was coming to that. Gene wants to go along with me. All right, that suits me now. Look, Gene, you and I, we're going up to the village now.
Okay.
And I'm carrying the fireworks, the whole box of them.
And me? I take the tom-tom, I suppose.
Right. And now then, when we get to the edge of the village, we stop among the trees. You stick there. Hang on to the roar and wait till you get the signal. And then give this thing the works.
And what is the signal? Are you going to be up in the village?
You darn tootin'. I've got to try to do something with these fireworks.
You know, Jimmy, something seems to tell me this is going to work. And I'm for hoping so.
So do I. But let's check up on the supply. Here's some firecrackers. Here's a bundle of big Roman candles. 6 of them. And here's a big skyrocket.
Ooh, sure. And when it starts climbing, it sure hisses a mess of sparks.
And, Pat, here's something you can do. When you hear the drum stop, use this.
Yeah, but what is it?
It's a floral bomb, just like a rocket. Only when it's way up in the air, it explodes. And a great mass of colored balls of fire just hang in the air, way up high.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, now look here. You say I got to set this off when the ceremonial drums stop beating. But now, how will we know?
We won't. But if the drums don't quit, well, then I'm crazy. Say, let's try this roar again and see if it works. Hang on to your seat, folks. Okay, I'm all ready. Let's go, Gene.
Okay, Jimmy.
And remember, Pat, when the drums quit, shoot off that floral bomb. Come on, Gene. So long, Pat.
And good luck to you, Jimmy, my boy.
Well, it appears like we're going to have a fireworks celebration in the jungle. And Jimmy seems to think the drums are going to quit all of a sudden. Wonder just what he has in mind. Say, there's going to be some excitement in that Indian village, and Jimmy says if it works, Mr. Noyce and Pedro will be set free from the clutches of Grogan. Gosh, it's going to be difficult to wait until the next broadcast to find out just what happens, but I guess we'll have to. So remember, you and I, we have a date to listen to the next chapter. I'll be seeing you.